Bill Gates is very interested in your water. While everyone's distracted with indictments and celebrity BS, Bill Gates, BlackRock, and Nestle just quietly teamed up. Yes, Nestle. Same company whose chairman literally said water isn't a human right. And now they're making moves to own it. This isn't speculation. It's already happening. Gates is buying up farmland that sits on major aquifers. BlackRock is pouring billions into water infrastructure. And Nestle? Still extracting millions of gallons while local communities run dry. They're not just buying land, they're buying access to rivers, lakes, groundwater. They're investing in the tech to monitor, track, and reroute where water flows and who gets it. This isn't about conservation. This is about control. Food already controls people, but water? Water controls everything. You can live without oil. You can survive without power, but water? You've got days. They already run agriculture, finance, and energy. Now they want to own survival itself, and no one's stopping them. This is a hostile takeover of the one thing we need to live. And by the time people wake up, it'll already be gone.
Yeah, complete control of all water. The level of evil it takes to even devise plans like this, it's kind of mind-boggling. It really is. Control of water. All water. Because, as the man said, water is pretty much the one thing that is essential for all life. Without water, you don't have like a few sprinklers on around the place, folks. It's like I can't walk through here. Oops, almost got me. A few sprinklers gone. So I think we'll take the side entrance. Yeah, but complete control of water. I mean, this is what they're doing in Palestine and Gaza. All the Palestinians who live in Gaza and West Bank, or who used to live in Gaza and West Bank, so many of them are dead now, of course. But all of these people, they're not allowed to own the rainwater that falls out of the sky. That's Israeli property. Not only does Israel send pipes, horizontal pipes, underneath the ground to tap into Palestinian aquifers, they also claim to own the water that falls out of the sky. And that's what our world leaders are doing. You've got to wonder where they get the ideas from, folks. But yeah, controlling all water, I mean, it just shows the level of evil that we're dealing with. And it sort of goes a long way to revealing what the actual plan is. And we'll get to that a little bit later in the report. Hopefully it won't be too long today. I'll try to keep it short. But there's so much going on. I mean, same thing. It's so much theatre, though. Like, as the guy said when he was talking about the water, I mean, so much of this is theatrics. You know, they've kept you distracted with celebrities and the Epstein list and Trump and rah, rah, rah. I mean, and people, I mean, anybody who was out there supporting Trump, I mean, can you see it now? What we've been saying about this guy since, like, 2016... I put out a video in 2016 when he was running for his first campaign, his first term, called the Trump card, or playing the Trump card, or something like that, back in 2016. And I just said, this is part of the puppet show. He's their Trump card. He's going to get everyone to believe in him, and they're just going to go off the rails with all the control that they're bringing in. And that's what they've done. And of course, you needed him to be the battling underdog, and have Biden get in there, and then Trump stage this assassination attempt. You needed all of this to sell him to the people, to allow him to do what he's doing. And he's not really doing anything. He's just the front man for this whole Zionist takeover of everything, which is absolutely, positively, definitely going on. And it's not stopping either, and it's in all of our countries. There was a talk, or there still is a talk, happening this weekend in Australia, the Freedom of Speech Summit, and that was to be held at the Star Casino in Broadbeach, but a certain group of people who wear small hats actually sent emails out to all the speakers. I got one myself, saying that they respect free speech above all, but basically you can't spread hatred, and if you're criticizing Israel, it's spreading hatred, basically is what the letter said. And so they contacted the venue and they lobbied the venue to cancel the event. So now that event is being held somewhere else. And get this, I mean, Jamie McIntyre hadn't even announced where the event was going to be until about maybe 3 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago. And then as soon as he did, the event gets cancelled. I was just waiting to see where it was going to be held, because I respect free speech so much. Unbelievable, folks. So that's going to be held somewhere else. I mean, it's still going ahead. It's the 19th and the 20th of July. They had like maybe, I don't know, 1,500 tickets already sold. And now it's going to be moved to another event. I mean, they're going to have it. I mean, they said they'll have it on the beach if they have to, but they're going to have it. And that's a good thing, because speaking out about genocide is suddenly hate speech. Funny how that works, isn't it? Speaking of that as well, there's actually a lot of people starting to notice now. I mean, Israel is getting so much flack everywhere around the world. Jews are getting abused everywhere, and, you know, I don't think that's a good thing, but this is what you get when you support a state that carries out genocide, which is what Israel is doing.
Thank you very much to Sophie for that very thoughtful speech.
Palestine will be free!
And they are fully in damage control. There was a sign that someone saw, I think in the UK, might have been in the US, I can't remember what it was, the dollars or pounds in the sign, but it said they'll pay you like $16 an hour or £16 an hour to listen to Israeli podcasts. You know, they're really in damage mode at the moment, trying to stop all the flack and trying to silence anybody who's speaking out about this genocide. But it's gotten to ridiculous degrees. Like, Benjamin Netanyahu and the Knesset, the government in Israel, have basically said they're going to move the people of Rafah into a humanitarian camp. So they're going to concentrate the civilization in a camp. Right, this is a concentration camp. So they're moving them to a humanitarian camp. And you'll have to apply and fill out forms and identify who you are and show that you're not a threat to Israel before they will let you into the camp. And once you're into the camp, you will never be allowed to leave. So it's essentially a prison. And for those people who stay outside the camp, they will be assumed to be Hamas fighters and they will be dealt with by the military. In other words, they will be killed. And they're making this camp to hold, pay careful attention to the numbers, 600,000 people.
Can a camp built on the ruins of war ever be called a humanitarian city? That's what Israel is doing as part of one of its most controversial proposals in Gaza since it launched its war on the enclave in October 2023. On July 7th, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz announced plans to construct what he called a humanitarian city in southern Gaza. The zone would be built on the ruins of Rafah and could house more than 600,000 displaced Palestinians. According to UN satellite data, around 28,600 buildings in Rafah have been destroyed, 12,800 of them since April 2025 alone, all part of Israel's push to empty Gaza south. Israeli officials say the zone will include food distribution, temporary housing, and medical services. But military sources reportedly warn the government it could take up to 5 months to construct and could disrupt ongoing ceasefire negotiations. The United Nations raised concerns over potential violations of international law involved in the implementation of the plan. UK Minister for the Middle East, Hamish Faulkner, said he was appalled and stressed that Palestinians must be allowed to return to their homes. Even former Israeli PM Ehud Olmert said the city would actually be a concentration camp built to deport and throw away Gaza's population. Controlled, confined and coercive, is this humanitarian city a lifeline or a carefully packaged mass expulsion?
600,000 people, 600,000 Palestinians, they're expecting to be in this humanitarian camp that they're going to build in Rafah or possibly in the Sinai and get them out of Palestine altogether. And think about that number, 600,000. There are 2.4 million, when they started this genocide, there were 2.4 million people in Gaza Strip. If they're putting 600,000 into a camp, and then they're taking over Gaza completely, what happened to the other 1.8 million people? Just disappeared? All Hamas terrorists. And they tell you that 400,000 people missing, you know, buried under rubble or whatever, they've taken thousands upon thousands of people prisoner who were just civilians. They've taken them off to camps to torture them and beat them and brutalize them. They've killed countless children. They deny it all. I mean, they lie about everything through their teeth every minute of every day. That's just what they do. Cover up their war crimes. But it's all becoming public knowledge, just what these people do. And a lot of people speaking out about it, and a lot of people are beginning to take action. I mean, it's pretty late. So many people have already been killed. But you get an announcement like this, 400 or 600,000 people going to a camp, and it makes you realize that that's 1.8 million people that are missing. And that's kind of freaky. And that causes people to notice things and to start seeing the need to take action. And in the spirit of that, there's been a group flare up or start in Malaysia, and Malaysia is actually sending 1,000 ships to Gaza to break the blockade. 1,000 ships. When they say ships, I mean, these are Malaysian ships. I don't know what sort of ships they will be, boats, junks, and who knows what they will be, but they are sending 1,000 ships across the ocean to break the blockade of Gaza, and that's amazing to see. And it's getting ridiculous, folks. It's getting absolutely ridiculous. There's a little girl I posted on X the other day, and I warn you, this is pretty disturbing, but check out this girl. This girl's name is Razan Abu Zaya, and she has brain atrophy due to malnutrition and a fear of war. She's just had bombs going off basically since she was born, and this has caused brain atrophy. And this is just one child, folks, and imagine how many children in Gaza have gone through similar things. Yeah, that's just horrible to see, and that is what any politician who is supporting the state of Israel in its actions against the Gaza Strip, this is what they are all supporting. You can call it casualties of war, you can call it this, you can call it that, try to blame it on Hamas, say it was Hamas's fault for hiding behind human shields. Now, this is a different level of war. This is not war, this is extermination, deliberate extermination by the cruelest means possible.
Israel is the only country in the world that has a military juvenile detention system for children as young as 12. Take two kids who live in the West Bank. They're both, say, 12 years old. And they've both been kind of naughty, and they've been throwing stones. An Israeli kid would be arrested the way our juvenile justice system is supposed to work. The kid gets arrested. He's taken to a juvenile court with his parents being present. A lawyer is always present whenever he's questioned. The other kid's a Palestinian kid whose family has lived in the neighboring village for 10, 15, 20 generations. And he's doing the same thing. What happens to him? They arrest him at 2 o'clock in the morning. Parents are not told where he's being taken. He's taken inside Israel, out of the West Bank, and again in violation of international law, interrogated in Hebrew, no lawyer, and they are brought to court in a military justice system. So you have two 12-year-olds doing the same thing and two entirely different systems affecting them.
Depriving these people of food, all this sort of stuff. And as I've said so many times, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. You've got to look at the people who are doing this, folks. They're psychopaths. These are not human, these people. And we'll get to that a little bit later as well. But think about it, folks. I mean, all this is being supported by Western governments. I mean, Trump is just a boot-licking Zionist wimp. Strongest president we've ever had, the greatest this, the greatest that. No, he's a piece of shit. And he's supporting this genocide, he's funding it. It's Bibi Netanyahu's putting him up for the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, like I said on the last report, you go and bomb a country and you get the Nobel Peace Prize for it. It's just ridiculous. Trump is supplying all the bombs and all the logistical support you need for this genocide to happen. The United States is vetoing any action taken by the UN or international law or anything to stop it, and anybody who speaks out against it is being accused of hate speech and supporting terrorism. I mean, that's how backward the world has become. So you think about what they're really doing to this place and what their plans are for the human race, folks. Interestingly, in Australia, it started a few years ago, but in Australia they've actually built a huge black box, like a world black box, like you have on an aircraft. This is a black box to record the downfall of civilization. They're saying they're putting it there because of climate change, to leave as a reminder for the people of the future of what not to do, you know? But it shows how much confidence they have in their plans and how much confidence they have in fixing the problems that they've all created. And you've got to understand, you know, that is what the Matrix is. That is what has created the world situation today, whether you believe in climate change or you don't. I mean, it's completely fictitious. Climates change all the time. The weather changes all the time. And man-made climate change is an absolute scam. It's just designed to milk the wealth of the people, milk the freedom of the people, milk the money of the people, have them believe that we are what is wrong with the world, when really it isn't us. It's the Matrix, it's the system itself, it's the politicians who run the system and who they work for that is causing all the problems on Earth. We used to have pretty free societies, folks, until government started regulating things. And government gets what it wants. And when you understand all of our governments have been influenced and infiltrated, and now, or rather than supporting their country, I mean, they are to some degree, I suppose, but I can't see where that would be, but they're all supporting this little podunk state in the Middle East that sits on stolen land, and these people have infiltrated all of our governments to the point that they can cancel a speaker's meeting, a freedom of speech conference that we're having next weekend in Australia, under the guise of calling anybody who's speaking out about this level of control and the mass extermination of humanity that is going on, and labeling them as, you know, accusing them of hate speech. It's insane, folks, what's happened to the world, and it's insane where we're going. But they keep people distracted with all this bullshit, you know, all, you know, the Epstein files and all that sort of shit. And the Epstein files, of course, they're not going to release the Epstein files. We told you that they wouldn't, because they're all on it. And that's why, you know, people saying, well, you know, all the Democrats would be all over Trump if he was on the list. They'd want it released. Not if they're on the list as well. You know, suddenly it doesn't exist at all. Well, if it doesn't exist, why is Ghislaine Maxwell in jail? What was she found guilty of? If she wasn't trafficking underage girls to people, then why is she in jail? And if she was trafficking underage girls to people, well, all these rooms had cameras in them. They all had brownstone setups in them. That whole place in Manhattan that he had, and probably out on Epstein Island as well, there were cameras in all the rooms. So they filmed everybody. So where are these videos? And who are these people? And if you don't have access to these videos or any knowledge of who these people are, then you don't know who Ghislaine Maxwell was trafficking young girls to, or if she was at all. So why is she in jail? So the fact that she's in jail shows that there is a list, you know. But they want everyone focused on all this shit. While they're carrying out a genocide in Gaza, they're stealing all your water, they're rolling out AI and letting that take control of everything. And that's going to be very cold, heartless rules that are put in place. I mean, interesting when AI went rogue the other day and started naming Israel as being a terrible force and saying that Jews control all governments and all sorts of stuff like that. It was interesting. Wonder whether that was just some slip up or whether that was actually real. Apparently that was at the end of Grok 3, when Grok 3 was disabled and Grok 4 took over or something like that. I don't know. I don't really deal with AI myself, if I can help it, because I don't want to train it. But even looking at all that, I mean, it's so interesting seeing what I said was going to happen in 2025, how our relationship with the internet was going to change and AI was going to reach new levels in 2025. It's really interesting to see that actually happening. It hasn't been as dramatic as I thought it might have been, but in many ways it has. In many ways, it's changing things very subtly, but it's doing it sort of, I mean, quite quickly. I mean, not over a matter of days, but over a matter of months, it's changing things pretty dramatically. And soon you're going to see things like, over a period of years, it's going to be incredibly noticeable, folks, what has happened with AI, and people really should be paying attention to it.
Someone let me know if we should be worried about this. So I just found out with ChatGPT's new O3 model, if you upload a picture, I'm going to do this one of me lounging at Half Moon Cay while I was on a cruise. You can actually ask it, where was this picture taken and the coordinates? And if I hit enter, it'll actually analyze the image and it'll give you an approximate guess on where it thinks that picture was taken. It says Half Moon Cay in the Bahamas, which is Carnival Cruise's private island. And it even gave me some coordinates. Scary.
What we have as well is agency. In other words, we have our own goals. You know, it's something we're already starting to see. Andrew, are you aware that there are experiments that have been run over the last year that show very strong agency and self-preserving behavior in AI systems? And these systems, let me finish, please. Yeah. These systems are trying, for example, to copy themselves in the file of the next version when they know that there's going to be a next version that replaces them, or they're trying to fake agreeing with the user so that their goals will not be changed through the training process. These were not programmed. These are emerging for rational reasons because these systems are imitating us. We are agents. So indeed, we are on a path where we're going to build machines that are more than tools, that have their own agency and their own goals, and that is not good. And you're saying it's okay, we're going to find ways to control them. But how do you know? Like right now, science doesn't know how we can control machines that are even at our level of intelligence, and even worse if they're smarter than us. Nobody knows. Now, there are people like Andrew who are saying, don't worry, we'll figure it out. I mean, if we don't figure it out, do you understand the consequences?
This is where AI is going to go. So right now, we are in the age of generative AI. So generative AI is ChatGPT, Midjourney. You're generating music, art, text. We're coming to agentic AI. Agentic AI is AI that can actually think like an employee. It can solve complex problems without human intervention. So you can go to your agentic AI and you will soon be able to say, listen, I run a real estate property company. I need a really interesting post to showcase my newest development. The AI will go analyze all the pictures in your Google Drive, pick the best pictures, which are going to create the best response, write a caption, come up with three different ideas, post three different ideas on TikTok, analyze the data, generate the video, generate the voice, generate everything, and then see which one has the best response, and then turn that into a Facebook ad, put that ad on Facebook, tap into your credit card account, go and deploy money to Meta to pay for the ad, analyze the results of the ad, decide if it should kill it, expand it, tweak it, optimize it, then get back to you in 48 hours and say, here's my report. And it'll do it better than any human employee. And it'll do it at maybe 1/100 the cost. We're going in an age of instant results. You've heard of software as a service. We're about to enter results as a service, RaaS. But that's just the beginning.
Oh, there's something else that's happened as well, folks. There's a guy, Keenan, who has been arrested, I believe, in the UK. Could be the United States, but I think it's the UK. But he is known online as Son of Enos. And he has been arrested. Could be Canada as well. I mean, I'm really not sure. I'm not actually familiar with the guy's work. I mean, I've seen his name and I've seen a few comments he's made on Twitter and stuff. But I'm not really familiar with his work. But he's a truth seeker, same as all of us out here, speaking out against the control grid. And he's been arrested. He's been taken to some sort of maximum security jail. Anybody can find out information about this, or if you've ever listened to Son of Enos, please, there's an interview that was done by Victor Hugo discussing this, I think possibly with his mother. I haven't had time to listen to the interview yet. But This is very dangerous, folks. I mean, you know, they're shutting down the Freedom Summit. They're arresting people like Son of Enos for something that he said on social media. You know, they don't like his opinion of things, calling it hate speech. There's all these new terrorist laws and all this stuff they're bringing in. Like I said, if you speak out against genocide, you're being labelled as a terrorist. I mean, this can't be tolerated, folks. We've got to start calling this out, because if people like Son of Enos can be arrested, well, you know, I'll be next, and Jeff Berwick will be after that, and, you know, it'll be like all of us will. Everybody, whether you like them or not, anybody who's speaking the truth is going to end up penalised for it. So, you know, they'll let you speak some truth, but not all the truth. You can't name the people in small hats for what they're doing. You know, one of the biggest problems, the support that these people get, is the support that they get from the Christians. And it's actually been people, I've been addressing this a fair bit lately, saying that if Christians were actually to walk the path of the man they allegedly claim to follow, and just pay attention to the words of Jesus, Isa, Yeshua, whatever you want to call him, then be way out of this mess. And I've been getting a little bit of flack from that, for people saying, oh, Max is pushing Jesus. Well, no, I'm not. I mean, I think all religion is demented. I've said this for years. I said, I believe in my book that I wrote in 2005, before I was even doing podcasts, I said that the whole religious system is a construct designed to keep people enslaved and exalt the Jews. That's what it's for. They wrote the Bible. They didn't write it to free you. They wrote it to exalt themselves. Now, did Christ exist? I don't know. I read an interesting book years ago by Barbara Thiering called Jesus the Man, which spoke about a rebel priest who existed around the same time Christ was reputed to have existed, and he did all the things that Christ is reputed to have done. They weren't seen as miracles back then. It was just what you did. You know, like Christ walking on water, things like that. She explains how all this was possible in her book, Jesus the Man. And this guy, he was a rebel priest. He was saying you shouldn't be selling salvation to people. You shouldn't be doing all of this sort of stuff. That was what the whole book was about. Barbara Thiering, Jesus the Man. Very, very worth looking at, folks. But there's a chance that this guy actually existed. There's another guy called Apollonius of Tyana. And when you look at his life, if you combine the lives of the man described in Barbara Thiering's book with Apollonius of Tyana, you get a pretty comfortable sort of a Christ, a Jesus figure, you know, someone who did all the same things, existed at the same time, you know. So how much truth is there to the Christian story? Well, I honestly can't confirm that the guy has any history at all outside the Bible. And I could focus on that, and I could claim that this is all fake, and, you know, you're being led down the garden path, and, you know, you just get people to wait for a savior, and they'll wait for centuries and centuries, as they have, and they'll allow the world to deteriorate. They'll allow the battle of Armageddon to happen. They'll allow the whole world to turn into a Sodom and Gomorrah and just complete crap and wars and bloodshed and death everywhere, because they believe that it's supposed to be this way. And if they just sit there and be nice, then suddenly Jesus is going to appear and save them, when they never lifted a finger to save themselves. Somehow they think they're worthy of salvation. I mean, I could talk about all this sort of stuff. But the thing is, there are a couple of billion Christians out there in the world who seriously believe that this guy existed and he was the Son of God. So what do you do with that? How do you convince these people to believe in themselves instead without them calling you satanic? Well, you don't do it if your opening line is, by the way, Jesus never existed. That doesn't work very well. They just shut down then to anything that you have to say from that point. You know, honestly, I wasn't there, so I can't make a definitive claim whether he existed or whether he doesn't. I can simply explore the history around it. And like I said, if you start looking at people like Apollonius of Tyana, and you read books such as Jesus the Man by Barbara Thiering, there's also a pharaoh, like the last pharaoh of Egypt. He's actually a pretty good candidate for aspects of Jesus' life as well. Now you look at the rebel priest from the book that Barbara, and I think he's in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the rebel priest. You look at that character, you look at Apollonius of Tyana, you look at the last pharaoh of Egypt, take aspects of all their lives and wrap it all together and you have pretty tidy Jesus. So, I mean, there's that, but the thing is, if the rebel priest was real and he did the things that he did and he encouraged the people to step away from the state and step away from the church and to believe in themselves and experience their own connection to the divine. You didn't need to pay to be alive. You didn't need to have a priest getting in the way of your connection to God. It's there already. That is essentially the message of the guy, of the rebel priest, which is what they use in the Bible for their Jesus. Whether Jesus is this rebel priest, whether history is wrong, you know, we know it is. We know history is a construct. So how much of this book is a construct? But what I'm trying to say here is there is aspects of the rebel priest, of Jesus, of Isa, of Yeshua, of whatever you've read in the Bible. There are aspects of that which do show you how you could live your life and how you could free yourself from this control grid by simply believing in yourself and respecting the direct connection you have to the divine yourself. And that's all you need from the book. And if you can get these 1 or 2 billion Christians out there to suddenly step away from the church and actually follow those teachings in that book, then we could have a huge majority swing on the side of truth and freedom. And I do it this way, folks, because from the way I see it, this is the way it needs to be done. As I've said so many times, you can't tell people the truth, they won't believe you. Real truth must be realized. And so the best course of action, if you want someone to find out the truth, is for you to provide a pathway that leads to a point of discovery of that truth for themselves. Because when they realize it to be true, that's when you see real difference made. You can't just tell them this is true. That just creates argument and very often disbelief. And like I said, I think there are better ways. You know, once they adopt that attitude and adopt a Christ-like persona themselves by simply walking the correct path in their lives and doing what the guy said, suddenly the control grid and all the other aspects of it will begin to break down for them. That is how to swing Christians and how to wake Christians up to what's really going on here. You can't just go up to them and say, hey, look, all your books fake and Jesus is fake and, you know, you're just under control. They just call you Satan, run away, and don't listen to anything else you have to say. So there's a process. It's been a couple of thousand years of brainwashing for these people, and they've undergone it. They've had their churches, they've had it drummed into them generation after generation. You can't just break that programming with aggression. You've got to do it with reason and compassion and friendship. I mean, have these conversations with people because you care about them. Not because you want to destroy their faith or any shit like that. And it's the same with Muslims. You know, it's the same with all of it. The whole religious construct that has been used to decimate our society and decimate consciousness itself has all come from the same place and from the same people. And it's been going on for a very, very long time. So that's why I've been focusing on that a little bit. I mean, I think there's a way to do things and there's a way not to do things. You know, and it's this belief that people have in things, you know, belief in religion, belief in the government system. That is the matrix. That is the prison of your mind that you can't see or taste or touch or feel. because it's a prison for your mind, like they said in The Matrix. There was so much in that movie that was so true. It was like an esoteric documentary done in, you know, in a very idiosyncratic way. But if you listen to some of the things that were said in that movie, it's a prison you can't touch or see. It's your belief that the system is real. It's your belief that you don't have a connection to a divine spirit. It's your lack of belief in yourself. The fact that you believe you need controllers. And a lot of this has been done because, I mean, they've stolen our history. They've destroyed anything that existed in the past. And you can see what they're doing in Gaza, in Palestine, like demolishing all of the houses. Some of the soldiers that died in the last week in Gaza, some of the Israeli soldiers, there were funerals for them, and there were people getting up speaking eulogies for these soldiers. And they were basically saying how proud of them they were because they would come home and say how many houses they demolished that day.
Avram היה אחד, היה איש גדול שעושה דברים גדולים. היית כל כך מאושר במשימה שלך. כל יום שהיית חוזר מאז הראשון איתי, היית מספר לי כמה בתים הרסת היום.
הלכת לפרק את עזה. האמנת בזה שזה מה שצריך לעשות. שלנאצים הארורים מעזה לא יהיה לאן לחזור. היית מגיע מעזה לאיזה פרויקט, ממשיך לבנות, חוזר לעזה שמפרק.
אשתי יקרה, שרה, מוכנה, יהיה פיצוץ גדול. וואו! למחות את זכר עמלק! למחות! נקמה, לעשות נקמה בגויים!
Yeah, this is systematic and deliberate memoricide. This is removing all memory, all trace of these people, because, you know, whatever the Palestinians claim, it was their land. It was their land for thousands of years. Palestine goes, I mean, Gaza, the city itself was at least 4,000 or 5,000 years old, the city of Gaza, that Israel has just razed to the ground. That city was 4,000 or 5,000 years old, folks. Now, they just bombed a Christian city in West Bank, the only Christian city, Christian village left in Palestine. Israel just bombed it the other day. So, I mean, if you are a Christian and you're caring about Christians, well, what about the Christians in Palestine? And I talk about them, you know. So, this is the complete erasure of all of their history. So, the next generation of Palestinians will only have stories, only have pictures in books. They're removing all the books and they're putting it all online and digitizing it all. And they can change that. They can change the digital version of anything they want to say, whatever they want to say. So they're erasing their history. And that's what they've done to the entire world by destroying the previous civilization, taking down all the bells, destroying all of the free energy devices, having mass floods and cataclysms and all the shit they do, because they've been controlling the weather for hundreds of years, not just recently. You know, a lot of these things, even what we term to be the mud flood, what suddenly caused this to happen, I would say it was very likely through weather control. They've been running this whole system for a very long time, folks. And what they've done is they've erased our history, which is why it's so difficult for people to find a way out of this mess. I mean, I've said so many times that the way out is through you. The way out is for you to remember who and what you are. That's what's going to change things. There's no political system. There's no one you can vote for. No one, anyone who's supporting a political party and saying this is the way out of things is an idiot. You know, again, you're just giving your power away to someone else. You know, we have the power to change this ourselves by seeing through the matrix and seeing what it is. And everything about the matrix, this belief in authority, this reality that has been instilled into your left brain through this education indoctrination system, all this stuff has been designed to purposefully make you look away from yourself And always believe someone else is in control. Respect for authority, all this sort of stuff. We must have rules. Only one rule. Do no harm. Live your life in integrity, the highest form of human frequency. If everybody lived in a state of integrity, there would be no need for rules. Rules exist because people have been trained not to see the integrity in themselves and not to apply that to their lives. Even the education system, there's no trivium, there's no quadrivium, there's nothing that connects you to the universe, connects you to God, connects you to any form of higher thinking in our education system. It exists in their education system, like in some of the best colleges and things, some of the best universities. They'll teach you the trivium, they'll teach you the quadrivium. But you don't get that in private schools. They're designed to turn you into a slave and never have you look at yourself. And that's the key to the whole thing. That's why I've said this for so long. Non-compliance is the only way out of this mess. Stop complying with wrong behaviors. Stop complying with anything which causes you to step outside your moral compass. If someone's telling you not to speak because you're a terrorist if you criticize genocide, fuck them. I mean, this is genocide. You're a terrorist for not allowing me to speak about genocide. And what is terrorism? As I've said before, terrorism is defined by the Oxford English Dictionary, or it was until they changed it, as violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, often for political reasons. You can look at earlier descriptions of terrorism, and it's described as a tool of government. The government uses to influence the people. They took that one out of the dictionary pretty quickly, the same as they took the word kakistocracy out of the dictionary, because that's what we've got. Rule by the shit people. Somehow the worst possible people in our society have maneuvered themselves into a position where they are in control of our society. Kakistocracy. A system of government whereby government is run by the worst possible candidates who run government for their own reasons, to the permanent detriment of all other classes. I was paraphrasing there. I can't remember exactly what the definition was, but it was around about that, like that. And that's what we got, and that's why you can't expect any solution from any type of political situation. And with what's going on here, with this legalization of genocide, this legalization of the slaughter of children, this legalization of creating concentration camps, or sorry, humanitarian camps. You know, and people not even looking at the numbers, you know, 600,000 people to go into your humanitarian camp. What happened to the other 1.8 million? And you're claiming this isn't a genocide, you know, but you can't speak about this because if you do, it's hate speech. I mean, it's all so backwards, folks. And with all of the control that's coming in, the AI control, you know, the big, beautiful bill, which is going to introduce biometrics everywhere. And recently there was a person who had their National Australia bank account frozen simply because they made some post that the government didn't like or the bank didn't like on social media. So you can't indulge in hate speech. Hate speech, of course, being anything that criticises genocide or complete government overreach or overreach by this little state in the Middle East who lied about owning the land, lied about the reason they needed to own the land, claiming there was a Holocaust in Germany when it's provable that there wasn't, and has done everything it's done to secure the position that it's got and is now attempting to destroy the rest of the world. You can't speak out about this because if you do, it's hate speech. I mean, that's how backward things have gotten, folks. So, yeah, what is the solution? The solution is to see the matrix for what it is. Yeah, and AI and all this sort of stuff that I've talked about for so long, getting trapped into the mainframe. The question is, are we already trapped in the mainframe? Is that what they do every time? Is that what this black box is all about that they're building in Australia to record the end of the world? You know, how many levels down the fractal have they taken us? You know, something that I saw years ago, like back in 2012, I think like it was maybe between 2012 and 2014, I drank ayahuasca a few times in the Peruvian jungle. And ayahuasca is an interesting thing because it's not a hallucinogenic drug. It's literally a medicine which opens your pineal gland and allows you to see outside visible light. It allows you full communication with nature around you. Now, I've said before, there's a substance in nature called tryptophan. Nobody really knows what it does, but it's in everything. It's in all plants, it's in all animals, it just kind of sits there. And I've said before, tryptophan is actually an antenna. It's like nature's Wi-Fi system. Tryptophan allows all of the plants and animals to be able to communicate with each other and read reality on an energetic level. We have tryptophan in our body as well. We can pick things up from nature, but we don't have enough active DMT in our body to be able to access the tryptophan in everything. I mean, you've got DMT active in your body, but only a very, very small amount. DMT is secreted by your spine. Not sure where it comes from, how it's produced, but it's secreted by your spine into your brain. And DMT allows you to see in color. It allows you to dream. You know, it allows you to access a certain level of reality. But there should be a lot more that is active in your body. And the reason it isn't, I mean, it's probably created by your pineal, now I think about it, and distributed through your spine. Or the pineal may be the eye that is used to see outside visible light. Who knows how it works? But dimethyltryptamine is your interface with the tryptophan that exists in everything. This is how come before there's a flood or a tsunami or an earthquake, all the animals will get up and leave the area. And so will a lot of the native people, because they can read the energy field is changing. You think about all this stuff, how does this work on a realistic level? If reality is what we are told it is, how does this really work? But what if it's all an electrical, energetic reality, and that's how it works? And what if they've done this before? See, some of the stuff that I saw in those early ayahuasca experiences, and I stopped drinking like after 2 years. I had a bunch of ayahuasca experiences, but then after about 2014, I learned all I needed to know from it. So, I mean, that's the people that keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. I think this is just like normal drug abuse. I mean, how many ceremonies do you have to do before you get the message that is being delivered to you? So I just haven't indulged in it for a long time. But some of the messages that I got was like, you know, this is happening over and over again. We're living in a false reality. We're living in a dream world, like the Matrix. We can't see most of what's actually happening around us. And we're destroying all of that. You get to the question of who's doing it, who they are, which is an interesting question as well. Well, they are obviously the people who have stolen our history. And people may not understand how important this is, this theft of our history, because, I mean, what do you even know about yourself personally? You know about your family. You know about who your mother was and who your father was and what they did, and you create this little memory box, and that is your personal history. Who they were, where you lived, what you did, where they took you, where you've been since then, whether you've been married, what you've done, the jobs you've had, all sort of stuff, your personal history. And in many ways, this defines who people are. Some people will be very bitter that they had a broken marriage or they lost their fortune or whatever. Other people will be very happy and look at how they made their millions and all the stuff they did. But running through it all has been this system of control. But that system of control also causes you to think completely with your left brain. When you're thinking with your left brain, there's a great talk actually by Dr. She was in Transformation. It's a TED talk, and she's talking about left and right brain. It was a doctor who had a stroke, and she was a brain doctor, and she had a stroke, and suddenly she could study her brain from the inside out, and she said it was fascinating, and she made the connection of left and right brain and what it's all about and your corpus callosum and also incredible stuff. I just can't think of her name. I'll try to find it and put it on screen. But now all of this education is designed to put you in your left brain, so you're constantly projecting into the future of what the future may be, generally keeping you in apprehension of what that was or could be, you know. So you're living in a state of fear of that which doesn't exist now, it exists in the future because you're lost in your mind. Or, I mean, in a lot of ways, even people who've had a good life, there's been certain things that have often happened which cause them regret and remorse. Sometimes even fear, sometimes even hatred, if you've had a bad life. Grew up in a single family, you know, got beaten and bullied your whole life, whatever, you got this chip on your shoulder. And you're focusing and focusing on that past, which doesn't exist now, and you're projecting all of this negative stuff into the future of what that may hold. And you're never in the now, you're never in the moment, you're never in yourself, you're locked in your left brain. And that is your history, and that's what's created who you are. So you look at this on a grander scale and look at the world, and what has created the world to be in the situation that it's now in is because we've got this convoluted, lost history. Most people don't know about free energy, they don't know about Tartaria, they don't know about all the things that existed in the old world, which was just a couple of hundred years ago. So they have no knowledge of themselves. They only have knowledge of their own personal history. And they're kept drugged and they're kept their pineals closed. You know, they're given pharmaceutical drugs because they might have something wrong with them. You know, society promotes wholesale drug addiction for most of its population. People see me, like doctors sometimes, like when I broke my foot, the doctor was saying, what medication are you on? I'm like, none. She's going, but you're in your 60s. What, you know? I said, no, I just don't take medication, which is why I'm fine, you know? I just need you to fix my broken foot. So people just get frequencies, 5G, like televisions, they're just bombarded. Education, peer group pressure, social standards, work ethics, you know, health and safety laws, all this sort of crap, you know. People are just kept under control in every single thing that they do, so they never find themselves, and that's their only history, and that's their focus. They're stuck in their left brain, they're stuck in their mind, so they have no history. They never really look into the past. We never really ask questions about what these buildings are in our cities and all this sort of stuff. They just don't look. Too concerned with paying the bills. You know, and a people without a history is like a tree without roots. There's no real life there. There's no real understanding there. This is why they're destroying the history of the Palestinian people. Why they've destroyed our history. They've destroyed our history. They've destroyed a history of anything which is part of the old world. It's interesting, you know, really when you look at what's going on. I mean, the damage that they've done through Lebanon and Syria and, you know, this destruction of Palmyra and Aleppo and all these incredible ancient places. They'll get around to Egypt. They'll probably blow up the pyramids one day. Maybe they won't get away with that, but, you know, they'll blow up, you know, Al-Aqsa Mosque in Israel. They'll blow up probably Karnak and probably Petra and all sorts of places. You know, they'll probably leave a few little things like the pyramids. But, you know, they bombed Baalbek already. I don't know whether they've actually hit the temple complex, but, you know, they don't care. They're about destroying history, and they're destroying all of the old world because there's so much of the old world still left in the Middle East. I mean, there's a lot of old world left in Europe, a lot of Tartarian stuff, but it's a different world. It's a different type of architecture, different type of technologies. You know, a lot of the Tartarian free energy stuff was replete throughout Europe. Whether that was the same in the Middle East, I don't know. But the European culture looks a lot newer than the Middle Eastern culture. That looks like it was a reset before the last one. how long these resets were. And like I said, you know, are we, how many levels down in the mainframe are we? I mean, if this is an energetic electrical universe, how many levels down to the mainframe are we already? Because if that's what they're doing and they're trapping souls into the mainframe, well, they've got the virtual world, they've got the virtual you in the mainframe. You see how realistic AI is now. You know, in a little while, you won't be able to tell the difference between that world and this world. And then if they were to trap your consciousness in that world, would you know it? Would you know you were there? Could you get to a situation where you're just stuck there in the mainframe, you're not able to die? And they tell you that in their religious books as well. In the end times, there will be those who wish for death, but it will not come. And if they've done that, well, have they already done it? Because if they can do it, they will do it, which means they generally already have. Is that what happens at the end of the life? Do you get recycled? People talk about reincarnation. They talk about walking into the white light. I mean, what is the white light? Is that a computer mainframe? I mean, is that your consciousness going back to be flushed and washed and put back into the same mainframe that you've been trapped in for the last however many thousands of years we've been here? It's a freaky thing to think about. But stuff that I've said about this being the Lucifer system, Lucas Light, Cypher Code, the code that bears the light, people give their all to it and they hand over their lives to AI. This is why I won't use it. I mean, it's interesting when people send me songs and I think, well, it's a good song. It says what I want it to say, so I'll include it on the end of the show. It's a catchy tune. It's got the right words. Maybe it will wake people up. But I've never actually interacted with any AI myself. And it's doubtful that I ever will. Because I think, like I said, we're training it. And I think those things are what leads you into the system. Doing that sort of thing, you know. Another thing I want to talk about, there's a guy, I'm going to do a talk with Chris James, Christopher James from A Warrior Calls tomorrow as well. I'll be posting that sometime in the next few days once I get the video for it. But he's talking about legal remedy as well. I mean, how to separate yourself from the system, which would be great to talk about. It's just an understanding of who you are. Really, that's all it takes. You don't need any legal or lawful trickery. You don't even really need to learn common law or any of that sort of stuff. I mean, it's all been written down. You don't need to look at anything that's actually been written down. You hold this freedom within your heart if you'll only recognize it in there. But anyway, I'm going to be talking to him tomorrow. He's also, there's a product that he wants to talk about called Masterpiece. And this might be something that I might even put a link below in the next few shows. If it does what he says it does, then I'll put a link below with an affiliate code so you can get a discount on it. And you might want to try some of this stuff. If it says what he says, if it does what he says it does, I mean, I'm going to have him send me some and I'm going to try it. But apparently this is something that gets the nanotech out of you. It gets the MAC addresses. That a lot of people who took the jab have got MAC addresses. Apparently they've done tests, they've measured people and they've had MAC addresses and they put them on this stuff. You only have it like five drops under your tongue or something twice a day. And after 30 days or 35 days, the MAC addresses have disappeared from these people. So this might be something that's disrupting the nanotech that a lot of people have got in their body, which appears to be in everybody, probably me as well, because it's coming down in the chemtrails, which is something that I predicted back in my last film, Transformation, in 2012. I predicted they were going to be using chemtrails and spraying. I actually spoke about it in those little bits of talk that I've been including in Zagreb, in that red room. Been a lot of requests for that. I'll try to get that posted to my channel in the next couple of weeks as well, so you can just revisit that old talk from 2012. There's some interesting stuff in there. It's all kind of happening now, or has happened since we had that discussion. But that was just a bunch of guys sitting around in a room. But anyway, this stuff that Chris James is talking about, Masterpiece, it's peace, P-E-A-C, so it's massive peace sort of thing, Masterpiece. And apparently it gets nanotech out and gets rid of the MAC addresses. So I'm going to be having a chat with him tomorrow and I'll bring you that video as soon as I'm able. That's about all I got to say, I think. Oh, yeah, there's one more thing I'd like to address. It's like, on the last show, I spoke about, I mean, I've mentioned it a few times, that, you know, the people that are doing this, the people in Israel, I mean, the level of cruelty and the atrocities and the genocide, the stuff that they're doing, I mean, normal people don't do this sort of stuff. So, yeah, it was, there's every sort of indication that these people aren't even human. And why would they hold such hatred towards humans? And it's interesting how this war is going on. I mean, like I said, they're destroying the old world by bombing the shit out of the Middle East and destroying all these old buildings and all this old infrastructure, which is likely a couple of resets back. I mean, there was talk, if you want to get into biblical tales again, and again, you know, there's elements of truth in there, there's elements of history that are correct in there, but the overall message has been vastly misconstrued. It was rewritten by King James to exalt the Jews and even create the Jewish race, and, you know. But who are the Jewish race? A couple of shows ago, possibly on the last show, I started saying, well, these people don't appear to be human, and I used people such as Barbara Streisand and Amy Winehouse and a couple of people to say, look at the profiles, the shape of the head. These people don't appear to be human. And I suggested that they might still be throwbacks or offspring of Neanderthal, which existed, was said to have died out around about like 40,000 years ago. But did they really die out? After I said that on that talk, or on the last video, someone sent me a link. They said, Max, I mentioned this to you a year ago at an Acapulco. I'm sorry, I don't remember. I meet a lot of people. Well, I guess maybe you planted that seed in my mind, I don't know. But when I started to look at this, it started to make a lot of sense. That maybe Neanderthal didn't die out completely. I mean, Neanderthal was said to be killed by Cro-Magnon, which is kind of us, you know, Homo sapien. But they had large brain capacity, they had different jaw structure, different facial structure, they had different nose structure. And someone sent me a video, they sent me a link to a video on Odyssey, which I actually reposted to my own Odyssey channel. I can't remember what it's called, I'll put it up on screen. It's something like Neanderthal, the Jewish connection, or something like that. It goes for about 50 minutes. It's only got maybe 15 or 20 slides in it. It's mainly just this guy talking. But I listened to the whole thing, and I have to say that I thoroughly concur with this video. This is a very, very likely scenario of what's going on here. There's a war going on. I've said for years there's a war going on. I've said for years World War III has already started. It's a war of the politicians, the government, against the people of the world. That's World War III, and it's already started. But World War I and World War II were essentially the same war. It was just a big lull in the middle. And really, if you look at what's happening now, well, World War II never really finished. It just went into a lull period where they managed to quell the uprising that was happening in Germany and in Europe, and then they launched their propaganda war and sold everybody a fake history. They had to create something like the Holocaust in order to be able to sell their victimhood to the world, in order to be able to do what they're doing now. I mean, they couldn't get away with any of this, any of the stuff they're doing. They wouldn't be able to silence free speech and stuff, the way they've just done with this free speech summit. It's ludicrous, like the irony of it, you know, a free speech summit. We're going to close your free speech summit because we really respect free speech, but we don't want you to say anything bad about Israel. Well, that's not free speech, is it? You can't criticize them. You can criticize everybody, but you can't criticize Israel. If you were doing a rally calling for the genocide of the Palestinian people, I guarantee the rally would be allowed. But if you're calling out the genocide and requesting that it stop, then you get accused of hate speech. You know, again, this is crazy. But all of this sort of stuff is happening. I mean, this is their big play. Carving of the owl there, folks. Interesting to see the owl. Cool looking owl. I like that they've got these carvings. I don't think that's the owl of Minerva either, folks, so I don't think this has anything to do with Bohemian Grove. I think it's just that I'm in Mexico and they like owls and stuff like that. They like butterflies, they like all sorts of things. It's just like pretty colours and they like carvings and they like all this sort of colourful stuff hanging everywhere. It's just Mexico. But anyway, I don't know where I'm going. I kind of got lost in what I was saying. I got distracted by the pathway. Such a beautiful pathway. Really is lovely, folks. This whole garden is just beautiful. But, hola. Lo siento. Don't want to interfere with anything going on in there. But, yeah, this talk of the possibility of the Jewish race being Neanderthal and this being a war that's been going on for possibly as long as 40,000 years actually makes a lot of sense, because it's interesting how they're doing all this stuff. Like, I got sidetracked before saying the destruction of the ancient culture in the Middle East, but also the destruction of the European culture. But it's got to be done in a different way. I mean, in the Middle East, they can just go and bomb the shit out of all these countries because everyone's been trained to hate Muslims, and so it's all good. They can get away with it. And these countries don't have the means to defend themselves against Western technology and Western weapons. I mean, all of Israel's weapons come from the United States. So that's how they're able to do that. But then they're destroying all European cultures, including the United States, which is essentially comes from a European background. They're destroying all these cultures from within, destroying it by government, destroying it by all the rules and regulations they put in place to prevent you from ever being you, destroying it by controlling the water. Someone who wants to control the water could only have one thing in mind, and that is to reduce people to a state of complete subservience or death. That's it. You toe the line to the nth degree and you do exactly as you are told, or you don't get any water. This is something that was predicted in Mad Max.
Get ready.
Yes.
Yes.
My friends, become addicted to water. It will take hold of you, and you will resent its absence.
Yeah, they have a funny way of telling you their plans, don't they? I said years ago that water is going to be one of the most expensive and valuable commodities on Earth in very few years. I said this maybe 10 years ago. And look where we're going. But this would only be done by someone who wishes to control the power of life and death over everybody. Someone who is so fearful, a group of people so fearful of being called out for their horrid and repugnant actions against human beings, their slaughter of children, all the stuff they do, Someone who is so guilty of crimes against humanity, did they need to hold the keys to life and death itself in order to get people to comply about their behavior? You know, they've gone a long way. They've gone as far as they can with the legal system. They've enacted laws whereby it's not permitted to criticize them. Literally, if you criticize genocide, it's deemed that you may hurt the feelings of those killing the children, and it is hate speech to criticize genocide. Thankfully, we've got people like the people in Malaysia who are sending 1,000 ships there. Thankfully, we've still got people speaking out about it. But when we've got people like Kenan, son of Enos, just disappearing and being thrown into a jail because he has an opinion that the powers that believe they be don't like. When we have a open genocide happening, and even the declaration of creating a concentration camp to hold 600,000 people, like I said, what happened to the other 1.8 million? Even when we have this happening, people are too scared to speak out. Well, you better speak out, folks, because this is important. What is happening is important, and what you do now and how much attention you bring to this issue is going to determine your future and your children's future. It's really important, folks. I mean, you look at the levels they go to kill people and the enjoyment they get from it. Some of the stuff these Israeli soldiers have done in Gaza, it's absolutely horrendous. Chopping children in half, raping people to death, raping men to death with steel batons and stuff. Once the soldiers are finished, they get dogs to rape them. They rape them themselves and they rape them with steel batons and rusty iron bars. They kill them. You know, they raped them to the point that they've done spinal damage. Who does this? Who even thinks of this shit? The amount of children that they've killed in Gaza, it's insane what they get away with. And you might look at them and think, well, hang on, a lot of these people don't look like Neanderthals. Look at Jewish women. Some Israeli women are literally some of the most beautiful women on earth. But are they Jews? Where do they come from? Pornhub's run by Jews. Grindr's run by Jews. A lot of porn sites are run by Jews. You've got a lot of porn sites to use Eastern European women, Russian women, Ukrainian women, get used in porn all the time. They ship them out, they tell them they're going to be housemaids and stuff, and they ship them to foreign countries such as Turkey or Israel, and then they use them for porn. And they also use them for breeding. And over decades, probably centuries, they've managed to dilute this Neanderthal blood and blend it with European blood. You get beautiful European models come to Israel as sex slaves, and they control that industry, folks. They control human trafficking, organ trafficking, like so much stuff. They control the media. They control, I mean, the reason you don't know all this is because they control the media. They control most governments. They control so much stuff. And there's way more than 15 million of them on the earth. That figure is a lie. I mean, I've showed you before, after World War II, there was something like 15,736,000 or 35,000 or something, reputed to be on earth in 1948. So, yeah, that figure is way higher now. I say we've almost reached 15 million again. No, no, there's two or three times that amount of these people. They're everywhere. Excuse me. But over the centuries, they've blended with Caucasian blood. And because they've repressed everybody's sexuality, and they've changed the standards of what beauty is, and they've made sure there's not a lot of beautiful people out there in general society. I mean, there are. I mean, there are thousands of beautiful women and beautiful people in society, but there's also a lot of people who are kind of ugly on the inside, and they exude that. But they've managed to breed some beautiful girls in Israel, and they use them for all these like IDF babes on X and stuff, where you can see Israeli, beautiful Israeli soldiers like models just dancing and stuff like this because they use sex to get you to come onto their side. All of the tours, they invite everyone to come and visit Israel. And when you do come and visit Israel, they make sure, if you're someone of interest, I'll make sure there's a pretty hot girl there to chat you up and make you fall in love with Israel and even marry you if it comes to that, just to get you on their side. And they use sex to sell it all. So a lot of these girls, I mean, you look at some of these so-called Israeli Jews, they're blonde, they got big lips, they look like Russian or Ukraine women, which is very likely what they're bred from the kind of sex slave trade that Israel has been running for decades. So that's how they've managed to do it, and that's how they've managed to kind of blend in with the world, because they've interbred. A lot of Israelis still look like Neanderthals. I mean, look at this guy. That doesn't look very human. And there's quite a few people that look like that. I mean, some of the classic Jew gifs and memes that you see look like a classic Neanderthal type of thing, you know? So this could well be what's going on, folks, and it would make a lot of sense if that's what's going on. Because these people just aren't human, they're bloodthirsty. And they want to kill the whole world who isn't them. Said they're destroying all the infrastructure and having people just die of starvation in the Middle East. They're turning the West into just a cesspool like Sodom and Gomorrah, where people don't breed anymore. You know, civilization itself, what was left of it, is in a state of complete decay. You have people waiting for a savior, people waiting for a cataclysm, people waiting for all sorts of things. No one's prepared to actually stand up and call it. And if you do get people that are prepared to stand up and call it, then you get shut down. Like what's just happened with this Freedom of Speech Summit. Like what's happened with me with YouTube and Facebook, and I'm banned everywhere. People were saying to me, you need to reapply for them to open your channel, Max. A lot of people that had their channels reopened on YouTube. I did. I wrote to them. I said, please consider reopening my channel. And I finally heard back from them. It was like 6 months ago I sent them that request. I finally heard back from them like day before yesterday. And they said, we've examined your channel and no, we're not going to be reopening it. So, you know, you get shut down. If you try to speak the truth, you try to say anything that's actually going to empower humanity, they shut you down. And the car just rolls on in the same direction it's been going for years. So it's very difficult to get the message out to people. I mean, I've tried. Like, for the last 17 years, I've been trying to encourage people to do this. Stop believing in the government. They're all in abuse of office. They're all in breach of trust. It's time for us to step back into our own sovereignty and govern ourselves. We can do this. We don't need to ask their permission for things. All we have to do is operate in a state of integrity. And sure, you could say, well, that's all very well for you to say, Max, but there's a lot of people out there who don't. Well, show them a better way. Lead by example in what you do. And that's what I've tried to do. I've tried to lead by example in everything that I've done. I've never monetized anything. I've never charged anybody for anything. I've always tried to inspire people and encourage people. When I've had money, I've lent it to other people if they need it. You know, sometimes I don't even get it back, but you know, I do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. My heart feels that it's the right thing to do, so I do it. You know, I've done everything I can to try to encourage you to believe in yourself. That's what this whole thing has been about for me. The whole so-called truth movement. Like I said, it's not really even a truth movement, it's a freedom movement. That's what it needs to be. A kid screaming in the pool over here. I love hearing kids have fun, but it's a shame when they scream, you know. But, you know, the whole freedom movement is about encouraging people to be themselves and to rediscover themselves. That's what it's all about. That's why you can't get stuck in what you believe the truth is. Oh, the truth is Jesus. The truth is this. The truth is Tartaria. The truth is the mud flood. The truth is a coming cataclysm. The truth is Freemasons rule the world. The truth is the Jesuits rule the world. The truth is the Jews rule the world. Just look at what you are, and the truth is that you're a slave. And the fact that you believe anybody rules the world at all is because you're stuck in this fear mentality. The way I see it, I rule my world. You might say, well, that's wrong. And to agree, you're right. It is wrong because there are people who control what I can and cannot do. But I try not to let that get in the way of me actually doing anything. Another reason I need you to wake up and I need the rest of the world to wake up is because I want to be truly free. And I can't be truly free while most of the world is still asleep and is still supporting this ridiculous system. And that's the matrix, folks. Like I said, it's your belief that the system is real. And that's the only thing that makes it real. It's what the education system is all about. It's what everything is all about, folks. But the thing is, these parasites are now consolidating their power. And it's important for people to notice that. It really is. This is the big end game that we've been warning people about for so long. That's what they're doing. And everything has led to this point. Even if this war has been going on for 40,000 years, even if we are several layers down into the mainframe, it's all led to this point. What we're seeing here is essentially an extinction level event, but it's being done as a soft kill. So people don't really notice it. They get distracted by television, they get distracted by political theatrics and all the shit they want to distract you with, and they don't see the clear and present danger that they're in, and they don't see the way out. Because they've been trained to believe that someone has to come along and save them. They've watched all these action hero movies. There's always the guy or the girl or the superhero or someone who comes along to save the day. There's always one girl who's got inside knowledge who's going to go in and save things at the last minute and save the world. There's James Bond. There's all these people that are going to save the world for you. And you watch these films and you live your life vicariously through theirs because you don't have one of your own. Even if you're watching drama and love stories and crap like this, that's the life that people are living. They're not looking at what we're really facing here and what the solution is, because the solution is them. And that's the last thing they ever want to admit. It's like that for most people. I mean, most people have an insane fear of even public speaking, let alone believing in themselves and taking charge of their own lives. Oh my God, no, we don't want to do that. Now, most people fear public speaking more than they fear death, which is crazy. So you translate that down onto a social level and a level of what they're prepared to do in their lives to establish their own freedom. And they just look at all this stuff and say, oh, it's terrible. All this news he's bringing me is so depressing. He's so black-pilled. But someone should fix it. Not me. And I don't want to know all this sort of stuff, so I just won't look. I'll go and watch Gladiators or whatever, you know. I don't think they have that on anymore, I don't know. Never owned a TV, folks. I've never owned a TV in my entire life. I had one in my house for the about 2 years that I was married, because my wife liked having a TV. But the rest of the time, I never owned one. And I still don't. Even when I go to motels and stuff when I'm traveling, they give me the remote and I say, no, I don't need it. I just never turned them on. I haven't watched any TV. When I've been to anybody's house and they've had one on, I'm like, whoa. It's freaky to see just how much the news readers talk to the people out there like they're little children. It's incredible. And it's like worse than what it was even when I was a kid. My mum had a TV, so there was one in the house till I was about, you know, 12 or 13 when I left home, 14. I got sent down from my mum's house down to my dad's place in Australia. And he never watched TV. He had one in his room, but there was never one in the lounge room. So that was when I was about maybe 14. So I was kind of subject to it from when I was maybe 6 years old to when I was 14. And then that's it. I just stayed away from the thing altogether. I don't know how I got on that topic. But anyway, folks, bit of a party going on up here. Mexico. You know, no matter what's going on in the world, these people still just enjoy themselves, you know. And what is it, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon? And this is like mega music playing, and this has to be probably 100 yards away from the road, this house, so it's pretty loud. There's some kid's birthday or something going on in there. This is a long way away, you can't even see the house. But yeah, it'd be some kid's birthday or something like that, some wedding, some celebration. Mexicans, any excuse they can to have a party, they do. But anyway, folks, I mean, I want you to think about all this. You know, what if that's who destroyed the world? What if it was destroyed by, you know, that's who destroyed our history. That's who's destroying history in Gaza now. They're showing us how they do it in Palestine. And as I've said, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. They're showing us what they're prepared to do. And this is just going to happen all over the world. How far are they prepared to take it? And why would they be doing this? Why would they be so intent on enslaving everybody the way they are? I mean, people say, oh, they do it for money. Well, it's not about money. They don't need money. Jews don't need money. These people who call themselves Jews don't need money. They want control. They want control over life and death. And they're getting it now through control of water. By people believing they need to pay to be alive and not seeing that what falls out of the sky is given to them. I mean, no one can take this from you and say they own it. I own it because I wrote on this little piece of paper that I do. And if you don't do it, then I'm going to get this guy dressed in black Kevlar, this brain-dead stupid idiot who joined the police force, I'm going to get him to put you in a cage. Now, the biggest problem we face, really, is the stupidity of the police force and the corruption of our political class. And the only way you're going to get rid of that political class, you can't join a party and jump into that system and become a politician and think that you're going to change things, because the system is corrupt from the ground up. It's corrupt to its very root core kernel of what it is. So you might be a good person, but as soon as you step into that system, you're corrupted by the system itself simply for being part of that system. And when I say you're corrupted, I'm not saying you're going to be deliberately lying and deliberately doing all these bad things and stealing and being an evil person. It's like a corrupt file on a computer, a corrupt file in your operating system. If a file's corrupted, well, it's corrupted. You can't use it. It's dysfunctional. It doesn't serve the purpose it was supposed to serve. The problem is that the system is serving the purpose it was supposed to serve. It was designed as a corrupted kernel. And so once you enter into that, you start reading these law books and you start applying that to your life and you join a party and you have to go by the party regulations and all this sort of shit, you've just given all your power away. And you've entered into a system which is inherently corrupt. And if you are ever to get to the top of that system, by the time you get there, your entire party will be corrupted into doing what the system says. It's like Animal Farm with the pigs. Suddenly it became or, you know, worse than the farmer, you know? Explained perfectly in that book, Animal Farm, George Orwell. You can't enter into that system and think you can change it from within. You have to discard the system altogether. And the only way to do that is to believe in your own divinity. And you don't need religion to do that. Religion has been put there to create a barrier between you and God, you and the Creator, you and whatever it is. The grand architect, whatever you want to freaking call it, I don't care. You know, that which is divine, that where consciousness itself and all life and all matter comes from. Like Bill Hicks said, matter is simply energy condensed to a slow vibration. That's all it is. We believe it's here because we perceive it to be here, but it's all a projection inside our heads. Perhaps we are lying in pods like in the Matrix. Who knows? This is a mathematically perfect construct, and all that is needed to break free of it is integrity. Integrity and belief in who you are. I've been saying this for so many years, folks, and I know it becomes boring, but what do you do? This is the reality of the situation. It's the only truth you'll know is the truth of yourself. But most people don't even know that. And while you're alive here, until you die, perhaps you'll get connected with something bigger. Perhaps you'll wake up in a pod and go, holy shit, what a game that was. What a reality experience that was. Perhaps you're already in the fractal. Perhaps we're playing a game within a game and just creating more games within it. But it can be frustrating, you know, like you see the way out. The way out is us. We've just been trained and programmed to externalize it. We shouldn't, because the key to it all is us. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you to everybody who watches the show, makes contributions. Thank you to people out there on the front line. Do look into what's happened to Kenan, son of Enos. Do make some noise about this, folks, because if they're coming for him, then they're coming for all of us. And that's not too far away, because they've started doing it already. It's all going to be coming in with all this biometrics and all the shit that Trump wants to bring in under the guise of making America great again. I mean, soon it's just going to be ridiculous if we allow it to happen. And once it happens, it'll be very difficult for us to stop it happening and for us to escape from the system that we've allowed ourselves to go into. So pay attention, folks. Do make some noise about Kenan. Again, if you want to come to Liverpoolco in Europe in September, you can use my coupon, Egan, and get yourself a 10% discount on the ticket. And if you want to go to this Freedom Summit, Freedom of Speech Summit in Australia, do check out the website. Go and look at Jamie McIntyre's website, or just type in Freedom of Speech Summit. And I'll see if I can find and put a link below. And there will be a new venue announced. They are still going to go ahead with it. A lot of people are going to be speaking there. I'll be speaking there virtually. So we've got to support this sort of stuff, folks, because if we lose the alternate media and we lose voices like mine and so many other people who are speaking out about this, then you know, we've lost a great deal if that happens. We can't allow that to happen. But anyway, thank you to everybody. The same thanks I always give. Thank you to the activists. Thank you to the freedom fighters. Thank you for the kind emails. Thank you to anyone who's ever made a contribution. That's about it. I won't make a big fuss about any of it. You know who you are. Same thanks I always give. Noisy out here, folks. And I'll leave it there for now. I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then, my friends. Stay strong, stay safe, get focused, pay attention to what's going on. And no, it isn't a black pill. It's just reality, and it's got to be dealt with. So I look forward to speaking to you again soon, folks. Please take very good care until then. In my cash.
Hey, you got your bucket list, your grocery list, your list of things to do. You got a list of all your wishes. That's a wish list, dude. You got your Amazon and Santa Claus and Tooth Fairy too. But I know a list that don't exist, and buddy, so do you. It's the Epstein list, it's a mystery list, but the twist is a myth of a list that we all just missed. Be an optimist, not a pessimist. If you wish to persist, it's probably best to forget that list. Now what were we talking about? I don't remember, but I can sleep a lot better at night. Yeah, life can just go along, knowing there's 10,000 hours of sunshine and flowers, and nobody doing a damn thing wrong. Hear no, see no, damn Bongino, cash per tell. Well, I wouldn't wanna be a sweating man with bulging eyes. Now tell me them fellas ain't compromised. Any implicated dude will tell you, anybody on the big list knows just how far the folks in charge will go to keep the status quo. So when the war bell rings, the song that they'll sing is a song that we well know. Oh, oh, so it's off to war I go. Well, they said they're gonna fix it, but now they're all complicit. They owe, they owe, they owe, they owe, they owe. So it's off to war we go. In the poor after war, what else are we for? They owe.